You guys are not doing any pass blocking. You're just stepping aside and letting them walk in.
Pop, 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 pop. That's what I want. All of you around that ball.
What's wrong with y'all? Y'all play like some little girls. Y'all like y'all never played football before. These guys are nothing.
You hear me?
They please just like we do.
Yes, sir.
They sweat just like we do.
Do you hear me?
They went through 2 days. We went through 2 days in 110 degree heat.
Yes, sir.
I want you to hit everything to move. If the ref gets in your way, you hit him.
Okay, then, let's play.
But they're cheating us, too. They're against us, too. This is our team. This is us. Let's go right now. Let's get it off now. Let's go.
In.
Just one chance tonight.
Rob Bro Show, Talk 103.9 News, Money, Sports. Through 15 holes in round 3 of the Big 12 Championship, Ludwig Aber has a 4-shot lead over Jonas Baumgartner of Oklahoma State, and an 8-shot lead over 3rd place Drew Goodman from Oklahoma. Goodman minus 2 today. Baumgartner even today. Ludwig Aberg minus 6 through 15 today. Minus 6 after shooting a 67 in round 1, a 66 in round 2. He's now minus 6 today to take control of the individual leaderboard in the Big 12. Texas Tech also closing in on second place. The group ahead of Oklahoma State, they are plus 9 for the week. Oklahoma State plus 7 for the week. Plus 1 today. Texas Tech minus 1 today. So, closing in on second place. I would say near impossible to impossible to catch up with Oklahoma. Oklahoma, 275 in that opening round. They just kind of put distance between themselves and everybody else, like a 13-shot lead after round one. It was nearly impossible to catch anybody there after that showing. They had a 279 in the second round yesterday. Oklahoma State, a 278. They won the second round yesterday, but pretty much everyone else, 5, 6, 7 shots behind, including Texas Tech, which has created the minus 6 to plus 7 plus 9 range that they see themselves in now. Still 11 strokes behind. Oklahoma just fighting to stay even through the remainder, and they'll be fine. Finishing up already, West Virginia, Baylor, Kansas, and Texas. Texas leading today at minus 5. They're on the heels of Texas Tech at plus 12, though on the final two holes, that also seems like a big task. Feels like Texas Tech will finish inside of third place for the Big 12 Championship. And they will move on to a regional. I think Texas Tech at large was going to be in a regional regardless, but is what it is. That's the Big 12 golf update for you to start the show. This is the Rob Bro Show. Talk 103.9 News Money Sports. I am the host. You are the co-host. You can text in. But texter beware. This one texter apparently will not miss these smart-ass comments to the texters that do text in to both the Raiderland and this show. Sorry. You knew what you were getting there. I mean, if you text into any show and on a regular basis, you're going to have disagreements and if there's one thing you can say about Ryan Hyde and myself is that we could sit on an ice cream cone and tell you what flavor it was. So I don't think you should be very surprised at all at some of the responses we have. Do appreciate you texting in, though. Hey, Rob, I watched Friday Night Lights over the weekend. Love the part during the pump-up speeches at State because I could pretty much quote it thanks to your intro. Love you, bro. Yeah, it's a great intro. I've enjoyed having it. It's a solid movie, too.
By the way, I went to see John Wick 4 after you recommended it.
Yeah, how was it? Did you enjoy it?
I quite enjoyed it, actually. I didn't. Like I said, I have not seen any of them, so I knew. I saw Keanu Reeves, and I was like, I bet that's John Wick right there.
Yep.
I quite liked it, and I'm probably going to go see it again with my friend this week.
Did you catch up any of the, like, watch the recaps or whatever?
No, I just was on a movie marathon, so I was like, I'll just go in and see it.
So you didn't really need to, right?
No. I mean, you know.
There's action.
It's like, okay, he's fighting people, and he's hated by an organization.
Yeah, he's discommunicated, and he's trying to get back in to do something.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, it sets it up. It. Yeah. Solid movie. Solid action. I like all four of them. If I was to rank them, it's only Tuesday. We could probably do this on Thursday, but I think that was one of the better ones. They're all so even, though, and like what they provide and
from
a little
I've
bit
heard,
different.
It's generally people like the first one a lot more than the second.
Yeah, that's then, generally how movies go.
And then
go.
They really like this new one.
Yeah.
And I don't know how people feel about three.
I might go 1-4-3-2. 1-4-2-3, maybe. I did enjoy this one. The scene fighting up the stairs was solid. Especially, you know, he falls all the way back down.
I like that a lot. Twice. And the one that's sort of in the abandoned house where they go to the top-down view. That was really
yes.
cool.
Yeah, that was cool. Lots of interesting shots in those. And Keanu Reeves, that is the role, you know, he shines in. He doesn't talk much.
Yeah, that was one thing that I knew he was sort of known for being quiet. I did not realize, like, they played that up as much as they can. The most there's one scene where he has to talk for a certain reason.
Yeah.
But for the most part, he does not say more than yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much John Wick. Are you going to shoot some guys? Yeah. Solid action. That's one of those movies you can also just go in and turn your brain off. It's just fun. It's fun to see.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it.
Yeah. Bullets Go Pow. Fun movie. Have you seen the Dungeons & Dragons movie?
No, I've not seen that one yet. I might do that one. I've done out of all the stuff in there right now, I've done Mario, John Wick, and Suzume, which was very good.
Suzume what?
That's an animated movie.
Okay.
It's very beautiful to see up on the big screen. I'd recommend it.
Is it dubbed or subbed?
Both.
Okay. You could choose or it's both.
They have different show times for different ones.
Cool. Which one did you prefer?
Very, Miyazaki, like, you know, you ever seen Spirited Away or Totoro or any of that kind of stuff?
Spirited Away. Is that
it's
about
like,
a horse?
It's kind of like those types of movies.
Okay. Is that, do you prefer subbed or dubbed when you watch anime?
It depends. Usually subbed, but if I know the cast and I have confidence in the cast, then I'll do dub, which there are certain shows I do for that.
What's the, It was the South Korean show that got really popular, Squid Games.
Yeah.
I tried to watch that dubbed. Could not do it. Did not understand why anybody wanted to watch it.
I watched
it subbed. It was good.
Yeah, we watched it in its original language. And then if my dad was there, we watched that episode in English.
Right.
Because he prefers it that way.
Yeah, well, yeah. I generally do. Like, I don't know. Any of the cartoon ones, it's not as bad. But if it's way off...
There's several
the mouth,
shows that
yeah.
I do prefer that way.
So,
but that's just not usually the default.
Well, there you go. There was the subbed versus dubbed conversation of the week. Mario was good. Mario was better than I expected it to be. I had very low expectations for that movie.
It was pretty much good. Just like if you've seen the Sonic movie, it was like that without the human parts, so just better.
Yeah. And I will say we talked about this. I guess me and my nephew maybe. I kind of wish they would have done Sonic animated, because then you could have done 20 of them.
Well, yeah, they have Sonic 17 shows, Mario ones, and they do quite well.
Yeah, they do.
Or are regarded quite highly.
But, I guess Jim Carrey, you can't complain about a Jim Carrey. Are they doing a third Sonic?
They are.
Is his mustache going to be even bigger? Is that the bit they're going for?
Apparently, I heard the second movie was supposed to be his last. Like he had like a contract that was like he would do two movies or whatever.
Yeah.
But I've also heard that maybe that's not as solid as people thought it was. So I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know the.
But I don't think he's planned to be in the third one.
I don't know the Dr. Eggman. Egghead? Eggman? Eggman. I don't know the lore there. I guess is Knuckles taking over as the main bad guy?
These movies very loosely follow It doesn't really. I mean, they're going to the human world, so it's like they kind of take it pretty loose.
All right. Okay. Sports are going on, too. You might have seen Elijah Fisher on a podcast. I don't know. We can talk about it if you want to. If there are questions on it, we can discuss it. I've not listened to the full podcast. I've just watched a couple of clips. To me, nothing he said was wrong. And if you took it negatively, that's probably you just not sharing the same experiences as him and finding a way to be offended. I don't know. I do think that there's more to eat in Lubbock, Texas than steak and salmon. But I don't think that Elijah Fisher got off campus much. Most college athletes have no reason to be off campus much, especially a kid who should be a senior in high school and is coming thousands of miles away to a college town. And he specified that I don't think he was prepared for. Coming from a big city to a college town, I'm sure that is a culture shock. And he expressed that in a way that an 18-year-old kid might. More texts on the text line. We'll also talk Texas Tech baseball. They play ACU tonight in what should be a good matchup. Those are pretty evenly matched RPI teams. Much different in the rankings. Much different in, let's say, the analytics and the statistical makeups of the team. But ACU played Grand Canyon really close. Grand Canyon came in and played you. You beat them twice. You should beat ACU. Stranger things have happened, especially on the road for Texas Tech, though you have slayed a few of those demons in the last month, or at least a few weeks, with a win in Stanford and with two wins in Oklahoma. But still, going on the road, it's another opportunity, and that'll prepare you to go play a different purple team, a different purple Wildcats team, this weekend. So you get four purple Wildcats this week. This texter, bro, how are you? I am fine. I'm good too. Will you still mold a... mold. I think this is, will you still hold a bold claim to be a Cliff Kingsbury lookalike on your move to greener pastures? I'll let the people decide that. I mean, that's not something I just came up with on my own. People stop me in the streets and say, hey, Cliff. And I say, well, I'm not Cliff. I'm Rob Bro. Easy mistake to make. Just an incredibly easy mistake. We both have strong features. We're both, you know, tall gentlemen. You know, I'm 5'9". He's 6", whatever. It's very easy to make that mistake. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. See if the golf score has made any changes. There's just a couple of holes left in that. We might know Texas Tech's finish by the end of this show. And, of course, it doesn't really matter in respects to heading out to a regional. And there's not a big difference between second and third place. But certainly the individual prize there for Ludwig Aberg will be pretty sweet for him. All right, we'll take a break when we come back. The Rob Bro Show, Talk 103.9 News, Money Sports. Hey. Welcome back. It's the Rob Bro Show, Talk 103.9 News, Money, Sports. Sometimes softball questions are not the opinion of who's asking, but to draw a response. Did you think listeners should bring cake to your final show? No. This isn't the final show. The final show is Friday. I don't expect any kind of... certain kind of text. You can bring cake if you want to. You can ask hard questions. You can ask softball questions. Just expect a wide varying range of responses from Hyde and I. Not entirely sure what that question is saying, really. Actually, did you think listeners should bring cake to your final show? No, if you want to spend the last 4 hours, 6 hours, 7, 8 hours I have left on Talk 103.9 telling me all the times I was wrong, you can. I'll deny most of them because that's what I do, but you can certainly bring it. I have no idea what some of these texters are saying today. I'll just move on from that. All right. Oklahoma still leading the Big 12 championships. They have gone to +2, though. A couple of poor holes for them. Texas Tech rounding out the final couple of holes now. Still +8, or have moved to +8. Oklahoma State still +7. So an opportunity there for a good finish. And then you have Ludwig Aberg still -13. Has not finished up the 16th hole yet. I believe there's a match play round also in the Big 12 tournament to move on from this. And I think that's tomorrow morning. So we'll have the round, the actual golf being played today, and then move on to the match play before regionals. And I will say, playoff golf, regional golf, match play, all the way into the national tournament, exciting times. I remember following the golf all the way through last year, and I thought that was really fun, especially when you're good. And I think Texas Tech golf's very good this year. I don't think they had quite as good a showing as they wanted to on day one. Certainly playing better today. Baseball today, Zane Petty will take the mound for Texas Tech. He's 2-0 with a 5.02 ERA. He is the projected starter for ACU, the projected starter. Max Huffling, a 3-1 record, a 4.13 ERA. And this is certainly a time where ACU is pitching backwards to the midweek, throwing a great pitcher in the midweek against a team like Texas Tech. Max Huffling has been good this year. So is ACU, 25-14. They are 10-8 in the WAC. Not ranked. Texas Tech ranked 14th, 10th, 15th, 22nd, 15th, and 13th across the six major publications. Gavin Cash dipping below 400 at 392 after a weekend that he would like to move on from. He did hit another home run on Friday. He leads the team in RBI with 67, up near the top five in RBI and home run, if not at the top of those national categories, Big 12 categories. Kevin Bazell leading the country in doubles. Gage Harrelson as a freshman hitting 340. 63 hits, 14 doubles for him. Bazell has 22 of those doubles as a redshirt freshman. Cash is a sophomore, but in his first full season of playing, he has already tied for fourth in most home runs in Texas Tech history with 20. He is one away from tying Jace Young in kind of that, I would say, ultra-modern era. Cam Warren also was up there. Zach Reams was up there. I believe he's passed both of those guys. And Dylan Carter's back, by the way. Had a good weekend. And Tracer Lopez is batting 364 in Big 12 games in the nine hole as another true freshman. I don't know if you've heard this, but Tracer Lopez should actually be in high school this year. On the other side, Garrett Williams leading the way for ACU, hitting 369. Grayson Tatro with 43 RBI. And Max Huffling, not the most innings pitched, but one of the best ERAs at 4.13. A couple of bullpen arms and whatever else for ACU, but this is an opportunity for Texas Tech. And you kind of laugh at midweeks and slough them off every once in a while as a team that's not very good, but if you look at Texas Tech and where they are in the RPI and what they need to do, by the way, Kansas State all of a sudden right there with you in the RPI, 66-67. But ACU is a team where you need to win this one. Now, if you had played them 2-3 weeks ago when you were originally supposed to play them, it would have been a better opportunity. They have fallen to 90, fell another 7 spots over the weekend. They were as high as... they were in the 60s, I think, when you were supposed to play them the first time. Now, with RPI, it doesn't really matter when you play them because it's a full season metric. If they would have lost to you 2 weeks ago, it would have borne out the same way. So it's not a huge deal that you didn't get to play them then, but maybe in the minds of the critics, it would have been a better game for you 3 weeks ago when it was windy and you could have played. But ACU specifically is going to host you tonight, and by the numbers, they're a pretty good home team. 19-7, 5-7 on the road, 1-0 in a neutral site. They have every opportunity to win this game tonight. They are 4-1 against teams that match Texas Tech's RPI. If you think Texas Tech is an anomaly in the RPI and they're a better team, they're a top 50 team, they're 1-3 against those types of teams. Looking at some similar competition, if this computer unfreezes. Man, that is really, really annoying. It almost pauses the brain as well. They beat Oklahoma early in the year 4-3. They won 2 of 3 from UT Arlington. They lost to TCU 7-0. They beat Baylor 5-2 in a midweek. You'll play Sam Houston State in a couple of weeks. They beat Sam Houston once in a 3-game series. They lost again to TCU on a Tuesday 7-5. They lost 2 of 3 from Grand Canyon, but scored 16 runs on Friday against them. Gave up 14-6 in the 2 losses that followed. They lost 20-0 against the University of Texas. So, a little bit up and down against the Big 12. Mostly down since they beat Oklahoma. And it certainly is an opportunity for you to go handle ACU. As you should. Again, just looking at their pitchers, any guy who's pitched more than 20 innings has a 6 or higher ERA. Struggle bus for a lot of the pitchers. That bullpen is not very strong. As we head to the break, yeah. And again, it just, Max Huffling is a guy who's 3-1. This will be his first start of the year. But they're throwing one of their better bullpen arms at you this weekend, or this midweek, to try and create some traction for themselves. All right, more texts coming in. We'll read them after this. It's the Rob Brough Show, Talk 103.9 News, Money Sports.
Talk 1340, News, Money, Sports.
Welcome back. It's the Rob Brough Show, Talk 103.9 News, Money, Sports. 20 minutes left. This texter, hey bro, just a few days left. This week, kind of like a second senior year in your lifetime, I think the Texans will take Tyree Wilson at 2 and a quarterback for their second first-round pick. This is actually like my third and a half senior year, if you count all the senior years I had in college. Would love Tyree Wilson to the Texans at 2, again, just so he doesn't have to go to the Cardinals. And I would like him in Texas. I've never been anti-Texans, like some people would say I am with the Astros. I have no ill will toward the Texans. I would absolutely root for the Texans if Tyree Wilson was a part of that organization. I am a big fan of D'Amico Ryans. If he tries to run his franchise opportunity here with the Texans like he's trying to do a kind of a replication of what the 49ers have done, I really don't think they need to draft a quarterback at all. And they have enough holes, especially defensively, that you could go to top, what is it, 12th? What is that second first-round pick, 12th? And then I've also seen them attached to move back up later in the first round for a third time and sacrifice a little bit of what they're doing a little later in the draft to get 3 first-round picks. That would be very good, especially if they can hit 3 times. And, you know, on a rookie deal, what they have at quarterback is not bad. And if you are focused on building a defense and then finishing it off an offense when you're competitive defensively, that's not a bad way to run your NFL franchise. Some would say, and I'm certainly in this camp, that drafting a quarterback too early is one of the worst things you can do. Not only because it starts the clock on a second contract and then you have to pay the guy and you hamstring yourself on building, but more than that, he's either going to get beat up in year one like Joe Burrow did and tear his ACL, or sit out a year like Patrick Mahomes did and you're kind of behind the eight ball still. Especially if you're not already a complete team. The Chiefs were already a complete team. The Cowboys were already a complete team when Dak Prescott got drafted in the 4th round. By the way, Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. Who's the best quarterback in the NFC right now? I think a lot of people nationally would say Jalen Hurts in the MVP conversation just got a huge contract. I think up next, Kirk Cousins still gets a lot of respect. Dak Prescott next? Is Dak Prescott a top 3 quarterback in the NFC? Is he top 2? Is he better than Kirk Cousins? Is Dak Prescott better than Jalen Hurts? Is he the best quarterback in the NFC? Is Daniel Jones a top 5 quarterback in the NFC right now? I mean, it's, just think about it. Lamar Jackson, AFC. Patrick Mahomes, AFC. Josh Allen, AFC. Herbert, AFC. Rodgers, AFC. Tua, AFC. If Tom Brady returns, he'll go back to the AFC. He's certainly not in the NFC anymore. I mean, 8 of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL are AFC quarterbacks. Joe Burrow, AFC. Am I missing somebody? I mean, are you putting Brock Purdy up there after his rookie year? He's not even going to start where he is. Jimmy G's in Vegas, AFC. Russell Wilson, AFC. Is Geno Smith a top 5 NFC quarterback? Legitimately, who am I missing? Justin Fields, Jared Goff. Ritter? Mariota? Who's even starting down there? Derek Carr? Is Derek Carr the best quarterback in the NFC with the Saints? Like, legitimately. Wild. The NFC West, Kyler Murray? My thoughts, I guess, are pretty well known on Kyler Murray. I don't think he's good. Top 5 in the NFC? Yeah, probably. The NFC, though, and I don't think the Packers were legitimately a contender, the NFC is wide open. And maybe it's just the Eagles division for the next 3 years, especially if they reload. Over the weekend, there was a hoax that they got Derrick Henry. I don't think they will. They might. They can afford the trade. That would be interesting to go all in, though, for a year. This texter, you're also a big fan of Houston. That's true. I think maybe you think I'm a bigger fan than I am. I have said that I do like Houston. I think that's mostly just based on what I always thought about Houston before I went back as an adult and then kind of went back and I was like, I don't hate Houston. I'd prefer to drive in Houston than I prefer driving in Dallas, but I certainly probably wouldn't live in Houston over Dallas just because of the opportunities to go to professional games in Dallas that I would prefer. We talked about that, last week? Wouldn't want to live in either of them over Lubbock, though. All the steak and salmon I can handle here. All right, let's take the other break. When we come back, final segment of the Rob Bro Show, final Tuesday of the Rob Bro Show in this platform. We'll do it big when we come back. We'll do it live. We'll do it live. It's the Rob Bro Show, Talk 103.9 News Money Sports. Welcome back. It's Rob Bro Show, Talk 103.9 News Money Sports. This texter, Dak Prescott, wouldn't be the best quarterback on the roster at Katy or South Lake Carroll. And that's just blatantly false, but go off, I guess. Let's see. Oh, yeah, it is ESPN Plus broadcast tonight, 6 p.m. They're in Abilene, Texas. Play-by-play brought to you by Andy Penny. If you listen on the radio, obviously the usual guys there. But the ESPN Plus broadcast, I would assume, and this is just an assumption from me, but I would assume this ESPN Plus broadcast will be better than a lot of what's put out in the Big 12. Which you can, you know, give that whatever credence you want. Entering today, Texas Tech in the top 10 of 10 different statistical categories. So, again, 67th in the RPI. So, the RPI says Texas Tech is the 67th best team in college baseball. They're number two in hits. They're number two in double plays. They're number two in sack flies. They're number four in runs. There are three teams that have scored more runs than Texas Tech this season. They are fifth in doubles. They are sixth in walks. They are seventh in triples. They are seventh in double plays per game. They are eighth in batting average. They are eighth in runs per game at 9.2. Does that sound like the 67th best team in the country? I think we could say that the RPI is broken as far as Texas Tech goes. Now, there are other conversations to be had about why Texas Tech RPI has been a problem for two straight seasons. Probably should be playing more road games early in the season. Probably should be playing more Power 5 opponents early in the season. Depending on how much the Big 12 schedule expands next year with more teams, you might have a built-in better schedule. Certainly need the opportunity to remove like a Merrimack or Western Illinois off the schedule. But you also need teams like Iowa, Gonzaga, Grand Canyon to be better when you play them. Grand Canyon, a tournament team last year, has just not been as good this year. Gonzaga, a tournament team last year, has not been as good this year. I did ask the group chat who the best quarterback in the NFC is. No, zero help. Zero help. So far, I've gotten back Brock Purdy. The first comment there, yeah, he's pretty good. 1 p.m., Kirk Cousins is the best quarterback in the conference. Panthers great, Will Levis. Oh, here's a serious answer. Hurts, Dak, Stafford, Cousins. Stafford didn't even play last year. Kirk Cousins, Goff, Carr. That's a six. And I legitimately... I don't know. If you look at QBR and you go down just QBR-wise, just that metric, it would be Jalen Hurts, Jared Goff, Geno Smith, Daniel Jones, Dak Prescott. Now, Dak Prescott did not play five games, I think, last year, five or six games. His touchdown percentage... top five in the NFL. That's touchdowns per attempt at 5.8%. Mahomes was 6.3%. Interceptions, he threw the most per attempt and I think the most period besides Davis Mills, maybe, who again at Houston needs to figure that out if he wants to stay QB1. If you go by quarterback rating, Dak Prescott a little bit lower. In the NFC, Jimmy G, who's not there anymore, Jalen Hurts, Geno Smith, Jared Goff, who had a career year last year, took care of the ball. Then you go Andy Dalton, who no longer the starter in New Orleans. Kirk Cousins, Daniel Jones, Dak Prescott. And I'm not trying to say that Dak Prescott last year was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFC. But he's certainly top five, even after his worst career year, in my opinion, last year, as far as kind of full seasons go. I mean, Kirk Cousins is just about as good as Dak Prescott last year with one of, if not the best wide receivers in the NFC, Justin Jefferson. Oh, well, Dak has CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb is not Justin Jefferson, and he hasn't been so far in his NFL career. He's good. I think my point is, whoever the Panthers draft, if they draft a quarterback, he might be a top five quarterback in the NFC just immediately by virtue of there's not a lot of guys that are very good right now in the NFC. And I think if you're ranking quarterbacks in the NFL, the AFC would have a conversation to have all of the top five and maybe further down. I mean, Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, the top three quarterbacks. Hurts, I guess, is next. Just analytically, Tua Tagovailoa, Jared Goff, and Geno Smith were up there. Jared Goff just because he took care of the ball. I think I would safely bet on Dak Prescott being a top three quarterback in the NFC, though, in the coming year. I think I could take that bet. All right. Let's take another break. This one, quite a bit longer. We'll be back tomorrow on the Raiderland, 11 a.m. I've been Rob Bro. I'll be Rob Bro. We'll see you then.
The views and opinions expressed by the participants on this Talk 1340 program are not necessarily the views of Talk 1340, its advertisers, staff, management, or Town Square Media.